It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk with an investigative reporter about what people living near frac sand mines are saying about dust pollution and whether research shows a health risk. First, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation ended last week, and with the Attorney General deciding what of the report can be released, the political fight over it has moved to Congress. A lot of Republicans are celebrating. According to a four-page summary released by the Attorney General, it found there is no cooperation between the Trump campaign and the Russian-backed hacking and social media efforts in the 2016 presidential race. For many Democrats, there are still questions about possible obstruction of justice. Representative Ron Kind is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district that includes La Crosse, Cuba City, and River Falls. We talked to him earlier today. Representative Kind, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, what are your initial reactions to these findings released in this summary of the Mueller report?
Well, first of all, Rob, as a former special prosecutor myself, I'm amazed how many people reach the conclusion on a report that no one has read themselves, other than the president's own political appointee, who got his job as attorney general, by the way, by writing a memo stating that the president is above the law. So I think we ought to just wait and see the full report being released and draw our own conclusions, because there were a lot of inconclusive findings, I understand, but we need to find the evidence and the underlying documentation of it, and that's why we're calling for a full and complete release of the report to the American people.
How complete do you want that release to be? Given some of the subject matter, it's likely that some of this might be sensitive intelligence material.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want to reveal methods and operations that could jeopardize ongoing surveillance and counterintelligence operations we have going. Obviously, grand jury deliberations are a protective status, too, but most of it should be fair game for the American public to see. We've invested a lot of money in this independent investigation. And the bottom line is, we're trying to find out whether or not the president of the United States is compromised by foreign governments, whether it's Russia, Saudi Arabia, not to mention why he has been reluctant to acknowledge that Russia meddled in our election and has taken no steps to counteract that in future elections, which is very dangerous for our democracy. Been very disappointed that the president, under his leadership, has refused to take the steps we need to protect the integrity of our voting system, the ballot box in this country, against outside interference. Why isn't he doing that? It just, it's inexplicable to me.
Right. That was one of the initial goals of the Mueller report, was to dig into Russian interference, apart from the parts where they were looking into the Trump campaign itself. What do you think needs to be done to prevent or deter future Russian or other foreign interference in our elections?
First of all, we have to remove the president of the United States. He seems to be the only person in town now who's not convinced that Russia interfered and other powers are interested in meddling in our election. He seems to be the only one. There's bipartisan consensus in Capitol Hill, throughout our entire intelligence agencies, even with most of the people that he surrounded himself in his own administration. But he alone is refusing to acknowledge or take steps to prevent this in the future. And that's against his constitutional oath, to protect our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And he's not doing that right now. But I also believe that this is better handled at the ballot box. Let the American people decide, you know, what direction we need to go in as a country, who has the better ideas, and who's better able to protect us against outside interference.
Do you want to see, you and your colleagues in the House, want to see further House investigations of related issues here?
Yeah, I think that it's ongoing right now, and it's a constitutional obligation that we have as a co-equal branch. All the branches have an obligation to keep an eye on one another, to make sure there's no overreach, that no one's cutting any corners, that everyone's playing by the constitutional rules that have been set forth before us. Each branch has an obligation to do that. Now that Democrats are in control of the House of Representatives, we're going to step up and perform that constitutional duty, something my Republican colleagues, quite frankly, should have been doing the last 2 years, but instead have decided to become complicit with this administration. And I think there's a way for them to support their party and their president while also standing up and defending the very principles and values that are embedded in our Constitution.
We've already had the Mueller investigation with charges and some guilty pleas. We have other things maybe going on in New York at the 2nd District of New York. Is there a point where there's enough going on? Is it just politics for Congress to be doing investigations on top of everything else that's gone on?
Well, the Southern District's looking at criminal matters that have been brought to their attention, evidence that they're following up on right now. And, you know, whether it's a tax foundation that the president and his family may have abused, whether it's hush money payments that's in violation of the FEC law, you know, those are kind of criminal matters. But Congress, I think, has a much broader perspective, and that is trying to get the answer of whether we have a sitting president who is now compromised by foreign powers, and therefore it's influencing his policy decisions. I always thought from the beginning, Rob, to be honest, that the whole Mueller investigation and the whole Russian interference thing was more about Russian oligarch money being laundered through Trump properties. And that's why the president and his family may be compromised, or why he is so cozy with Vladimir Putin and hasn't had one negative thing to say about him. And the same may be true with the Saudi royal family. And that's what we're investigating right now, is whether or not he's putting his own self-interest ahead of the interests of the country that he's supposed to be leading right now.
Talking to Representative Ron Kind, a Democrat from Wisconsin, which includes in the 3rd District, including La Crosse, Cuba City, and River Falls. Turning to some other issues now, apart from the Mueller probe, let's talk about the Trump administration pushing now in the courts to invalidate the entire Affordable Care Act. Earlier, it looked like they were just maybe going to go after certain portions of it. Now they're supporting a judge's ruling that would shut down the whole thing. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it's a bone they refuse to let go, and they have failed miserably to come up with any plausible alternative or plan B. And I think it's incredibly irresponsible and reckless for them to be scaring so many Americans about taking away the protections they now enjoy under the Affordable Care Act without even offering what an alternative would look like. They tried to come up with a package a little over a year and a half ago. It did not pass. It would have kicked 25 million people off from the health care that they were under, and it would have given $800 billion worth of tax breaks to drug companies and insurance companies. That was their alternative plan, and they weren't able to pass it then. And I just do not understand why they would jeopardize the protection with people with pre-existing conditions, children who now can stay on their parents' plans up to 26, the cap, lifting the caps on annual or lifetime payments with insurance plans that didn't exist before, or even the premium tax credits that many Americans need so they can go into the exchange and find an affordable plan that will provide coverage for themselves and their family. All that would be eliminated and taken away overnight. And parochially, Rob, I mean, this would entail close to 1 million Wisconsinites with a pre-existing condition who would no longer be protected from discrimination. And it would also increase the number of uninsured in Wisconsin by 144%. Close to 500,000 people, if the ACA is struck down, would lose their health care coverage immediately. And with no plan to replace it with anything, I think is very reckless. And it tells me it's just one big political game that they're playing with people's lives, unfortunately.
Are you starting to consider legislation in the what-if scenario if this is ultimately completely struck down in the courts, the Affordable Care Act? Are you looking at legislation for what comes next?
Well, we're introducing legislation shortly that will shore up and fix some of the problems that currently exist under the Affordable Care Act. You know, modernize it, improve it, don't end it, which I think is the logical path forward. We can increase some taxpayer, some premium tax credits for individuals who are getting hammered right now in the individual insurance market. We can set up reinsurance programs to alleviate the risk that states now face. We can do a better job of marketing and getting information into patient hands as far as being able to shop for a healthcare plan that makes sense for them. All these things currently are being undermined by the Trump administration, and it's making it more difficult for people to find the affordable quality coverage that they need in their lives. So that's our plan right now, Rob, is we're expecting a sensible, rational federal court will see the nonsense that's before them, not strike down the law, and then work in a bipartisan way on what we can improve the healthcare system so we get better outcomes at a better price and cover everyone in this country.
In our last minute or so, you are working on a plan to deal with chronic wasting disease. This is a bipartisan effort, including our Representative Jim Sensenbrenner here in Wisconsin. What do you have in the works?
Yeah, Jim and I have teamed up. I mean, this is very important, and it's spreading. It's beyond Wisconsin. Many more states are affecting the spread of CWD. And listen, outdoor recreation is a huge part of our state's economy. Outdoor recreation is a huge part of our quality of life. And we feel more needs to be done on the front end with research on prion disease. Wisconsin is in a UW is in a unique position to, and has been conducting a lot of this research, as has other universities around the country. And we need answers. It's been out there for a while now, and I think science can provide an answer and a best guide on how to address this. And that's what our bill basically addresses, providing more resources back home to our state so that we can get the scientific research done and come up with a roadmap on how we can best address this before it spreads and affects more areas of our country.
Is this a thing where you think you'll get support from regions that aren't seeing this, that you know, deer hunting isn't a big deal? You might get bipartisan support, but not support outside of this region.
Yeah, I probably am not holding out hope that a lot of reps in New York City or L.A., for instance, will get excited about our bill. But it's a small bill. It's not a lot of money. And we recognize at the federal level that there are issues that are unique to certain geographic areas of our country that also need to be addressed. But it calls for strong partnership at the state and local level and with the sporting community out there. Listen, I love to hunt myself. I grew up in Wisconsin. Most people do like to enjoy the outdoor recreational opportunities. But this is a big part of not only our quality of life, but our state's economy. And more states are being affected by the spread of this prion disease. We just need better science to guide us.
Representative Kind, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Rob. Anytime.
That was Representative Ron Kind, Democrat representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He was with us to talk about the end of the Mueller investigation and other issues facing Congress. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. Now we continue to get reaction to the end of the Mueller investigation and what we know about its findings. Senator Ron Johnson is a Republican who represents Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. We talked to him earlier this afternoon. Senator Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Well, Rob, how you doing?
Well, good. Now, what are your initial reactions to this summary that's out there of the Mueller probe findings?
Well, first of all, I think we should all be happy that there was no evidence found of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't Russian interference in our campaign. They've been persistently trying to interfere in all kinds of things in America and Eastern Europe, so that shouldn't surprise us, but that's actually good news. And I'm hoping what it will allow us to do is move beyond these investigations and start addressing some of the enormous challenges facing this nation. I just actually got done with a meeting with the Secretary Nielsen. We are overwhelmed at the border with people coming to this country illegally, seeking asylum. Only about 10 to 50% of the people will have a valid claim. But they're coming to this country and they're staying, and it's completely overwhelmed the systems we have in place since the humanitarian crisis.
We'll dig into some other issues in a bit, but sticking with the Mueller probe, right now we have this four-page summary. How do you want to see other portions of the report revealed?
Well, I'll give the Attorney General time to make sure that he does not release things that he cannot release by law, things like grand jury testimony, other classified information. I would like to see as much transparency as possible, which is why I really thought that the beginning of this should have started with congressional investigations on a bipartisan basis, then make public what the congressional investigations revealed. If there was a need for further prosecution, turn that over to first Department of Justice prosecutors, and if there was a real need of, in terms of conflict of interest, a special counsel, that would have been the right way to go. But unfortunately, we started the special counsel. This has taken almost 2 years, and it's been an enormous distraction. And in the end, it was pretty much a dry hole. There was no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
That was one part of the report. You did mention the Russian interference, which was also part of the purview of the Mueller probe. What do you want to see moving forward when it comes to preventing that kind of foreign interference in American elections?
Well, first of all, Department of Homeland Security and National Security Council has done a pretty good job of making sure they're working with the states. We really didn't have any problems with our election system in 2018. It's very difficult to hack into voting machines and change totals. A little easier potentially voter files, but everybody's aware of that. I think exposing these risks is probably the one of the best lines of defense. And then we just need to continue to work on countering the use of social media. Americans have to be discerning users of information on social media, realizing that there's an assault of all kinds of false information coming from all areas of the globe and political spectrum, and you have to take everything you read with a grain of salt nowadays.
Now, we've heard calls for further investigations. Senator Lindsey Graham saying he would like to see an investigation of whether the Obama Justice Department helped Hillary Clinton in any way. More general calls for investigations about how this Mueller investigation got started. Do you want to see that kind of investigation now?
I think the American people need to see the full breadth of what happened here. We are waiting for the Inspector General. Michael Horowitz is a person of real integrity. We have a couple of reports that are due from him on, for example, FBI leaks. There's only a couple of FBI officials that should be talking to the press, and there were dozens. Also an investigation in terms of potential abuse of the FISA courts. So we need to take a look at what he presents us. We need to take a look at what Robert Mueller investigated in terms of actions by individuals in the FBI, Department of Justice, and our intelligence communities. And based on what we find out there, if there's further need for a congressional investigation, I've been talking to Senator Graham about how our committees can cooperate. But no, I think the American people need the full truth on what happened during the election, during the transition, and in the early months of the administration within these agencies in terms of potential wrongdoing.
Are you hoping that this is the end of investigations of the Trump administration, or do you want to see further efforts? We have some in the House, of course, the Second District of New York. Looking at these other investigations, what are you looking at?
Well, again, we have enormous problems facing this nation. I'm pulled out of a budget committee hearing. We're $22 trillion in debt, 30-year projected deficits over $100 trillion. You take a look at what's happening in the Middle East with Iran and Yemen and Russia's aggression against Ukraine, China's growing expansion. We have, you know, North Korea. I mean, it's a long list. I would rather we turn our attention to those challenges rather than just an endless cycle of investigations.
Talking to Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about the Mueller probe and other things going on in the nation's capital. I want to turn to some of the other issues you may be hoping to focus on now. The Trump administration says they're supporting a court ruling that would completely overturn the Affordable Care Act, not just parts of it. Do you support what you're hearing from the Trump administration?
Well, I'll leave the courts to decide, the legal justification now for Obamacare. What I'm talking to my colleagues about, both Democrat and Republican, is let's identify individual problems and let's fix them. I mean, for example, there's, by the way, every Republican wants to protect people with pre-existing conditions. The question is, how do you do that without having premiums on the individual market double, triple, and quadruple? There's a way of doing it. Maine proved how to do that with invisible high-risk pools. So there's a better, more common-sense financing scheme where you spread the cost of covering people with pre-existing conditions over everybody rather than the very small slice of the American public, something like 5-6% that buy their insurance on the individual market with after-tax premiums, which is another inequity. So there are things we can fix. Drug prices. There's been real abuse of our patent laws, a lack of pricing transparency with some of the middlemen in the drug supply chain. So there are actual problems we can fix to bring down the cost of health care, which would be a far better process than what's occurred in the past. So I'm actually interested in fixing problems. I've got a track record. Chairman Homeland Security, we've had almost 100 pieces of legislation signed into law identifying individual problems and then, passing bipartisan fixes. So I want to take that same level of success into these areas as well.
I want to ask about emergency declarations. The House and Senate voted on a resolution regarding President Trump's emergency declaration at the border. He vetoed that, and it won't be overridden, it looks like. Are you looking at changes to the president's emergency powers in the future?
Yes, this is exactly in my committee's jurisdiction. Leader McConnell has given me the assignment as well. But, for decades, Congress has willingly given away its constitutional authority on a host of issues, tariffs, this National Emergency Act. Now, that actually was structured where Congress could disapprove with just a mere majority vote, but then the Supreme Court ruled that unconstitutional, violated the presentment clause, and then other Congresses codified that decision. We just want to change that, where the president has the authority to declare an emergency for a set period of time, and then it ends unless Congress, with the majority vote, agrees to extend that time period. I think that's the constitutional way of doing it. But we want to do this carefully. We want to take a look at if there are any extraordinary circumstances where there should be exceptions or exemptions. And so we'll go through the regular order process through my committee to, you know, really restore that constitutional authority back to Congress where it really should reside.
A little closer to home now, you recently introduced legislation dealing with family farm reorganization, and we hear about record numbers of farms here in Wisconsin in particular filing for farm bankruptcy. What are you looking to change?
Well, first of all, it's very unfortunate what's happening in our agriculture sectors and the increasing number of bankruptcies. You know, this piece of legislation gets a little technical in terms of what section of the code, but Section 12 of the bankruptcy code allows a farm of up to $10 million worth of debt to go through a process where they can stay in business rather than be liquidated right off the bat. So it's just recognizing the reality in the farm sector where it costs more to operate farms. More farms are in debt at a higher level, and this form of bankruptcy protection affords farms continue to operate, and I think it's just a fair thing to do.
Do you see bipartisan support for this kind of legislation?
Yeah, there already is bipartisan support, so hopefully we can get this thing passed.
In our last minute or so, your top priorities now in the coming weeks?
Well, again, Chairman Homeland Security, we have an enormous crisis on the border. President Obama in 2014 declared a humanitarian crisis when 120,000 individuals, either as unaccompanied children or members of family, crossed the border illegally and were apprehended. Last year, that number was 169,000. In less than 6 months, we've already had more than 200,000 people. About 4,000 a day we've been breaking records over the last couple of weeks. So the more people realize they can come as a family unit and basically stay in America, the more are coming. This is a growing crisis, growing almost at geometric proportions. So we have to address this, and that's what I was just meeting with the Secretary of Homeland Security about, what we need to do to change our laws to end these incentives and rewards for coming to their country illegally.
Senator Johnson, thanks for joining us today.
Have a great day.
That was Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson with us today to talk about his reactions to the conclusion of the special counsel's investigation and other issues facing Congress. Coming up after the news, we'll find out what Wisconsinites and researchers are saying about the effects of dust pollution near frac sand mines. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.